There's no one measurement you can take to tell whether the Great Lakes are healthy. What the environmental agencies in Canada and the U.S. are trying to figure out is how many and what kinds of measurements are needed to accurately determine the health of the lakes. Paul Bertram is an environmental scientist with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. He says it's kind of like trying to figure out why you're sick.
If you have a fever, you put a thermometer in your mouth and you find your temperature is 101, you know something's wrong. That tells you that you're not entirely healthy, but it doesn't tell you what the problem is. With the Great Lakes, we know that there's some things that are wrong.
Once the researchers can figure out what is wrong, they can try to fix it. In the past, it was pretty easy to figure out something was wrong with the Great Lakes. If there were dead fish floating on the surface or scum washing up on the shore, everyone agreed there were problems. Today, the lakes are cleaner, but are they healthy? The U.S. EPA's acting regional administrator over the Great Lakes region is David Ulrich. He says some of the obvious problems are gone, but Ulrich adds appearances can be deceiving.
One of the difficulties now is that people think not only have they gotten better, they're fantastic, we can stop worrying. In fact, one of the reasons the water is so clear is that the zebra mussels are taking out a lot of the smallest organisms that are the foundation for a lot of the aquatic life. So we are at a point where the obvious visual indicators may send us in the wrong direction.
Those visual indicators only give a partial picture. The Great Lakes problems are complex. To get the whole picture, scientists need to look at a lot more indicators, what they call a suite of indicators. Right now, they're trying to decide what needs to be measured and tracked over the long haul and included in that suite of indicators. What they want is to compile enough data for a comprehensive and objective report on the health of the Great Lakes and the region surrounding them. They'll use this set of data to see if they're making progress on the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement. The U.S. EPA's David Ulrich and his Canadian counterpart, John Mills, have the job of meeting that agreement. Mills is Director General of Environment Canada's Ontario region. He says over the years, a lot of data on specific problems has been gathered, but it's difficult to tell how all of it related and how much of it overlapped.
So what we're doing now is saying, recognizing that there's an interdependence of those specific one issue indicators, if you like, how can we ask the broader question, what's the health of the lake? How is it doing? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Is it being the same? And if it's getting worse or if it's not improving, where are those points that we need to pay attention to?
Choosing the data to use and deciding what indicators should be included in the suite has been a difficult process. John Mills says there are a lot of measurements being made, and the task has been narrowing them down to a manageable level.
When we started to compile them, we identified 850 specific indicators. Now, those are very useful for specific purposes, but when we try to aggregate them up to say, what does that tell us? What does that specific indicator, whether it be the number of snapping turtles or the level of PCBs in herring gull eggs or indicators of that nature, while individually they're very useful for the specific purpose, what does that tell us about the health of the lake?
So far, the suite of indicators has been narrowed to 92 specific indicators in three broad categories, biological, physical, and chemical. Biological indicators are things such as fish and wildlife populations. Physical indicators are things such as the extent of wetlands and erosion. Chemical indicators are those things such as the amounts of contaminants found in the water or fish. Scientists from all over the Great Lakes Basin have made suggestions, and the agencies are looking at the possibility of further narrowing the list. At the U.S. EPA, Paul Bertram says while gathering lots of data has its advantages, it's important to keep the number of indicators at a reasonable level. Otherwise, it can be cumbersome.
And it's expensive. You know, all of these measurements are expensive. And we're not made of money. Money's getting tighter as the problems get more complex. So we want to know those things that we all agree on are the critical, important things to measure. And then we'll kind of pool our resources and share information and leverage each other's capabilities so that we can get a lot of information more cheaply.
Bertram's boss, David Ulrich, says cost is a concern in determining the best data to use.
It's another reason why we have to be very selective about what it is we do choose to measure so that we don't break the bank just on collecting the data. We have to have some money left to carry out programs and actually put controls in place and things like that.
The final list of indicators is due out next summer. From then on, there'll be a standard measure of progress toward meeting the requirements of the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, this is Lester Graham.